Oh, how are you saved? By grace. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, but a gift from God so that no man can boast. We're saved by grace. So, last week we started on grace. Here's the definition of grace. First of all, I gave you a broad definition that's not in your outline, but a broad definition is God's goodness to those who deserve only punishment. So, a broad definition is God's goodness to those who deserve only punishment. Now, specifically, here's the definition. God's goodness in granting salvation to those who deserve only the punishment of eternity in hell, separated from Him. Grace is also God's supernatural power to live a righteous life. So last week we looked at the first part of that definition of grace. God's goodness in granting salvation to those who deserve only the punishment of eternity in hell, separated from Him. And I just quoted a verse loosely, but what scriptures, we looked at them, but do you remember without looking back or looking back, what scriptures teach us that God's grace, He grants us salvation when what we deserve is punishment in hell, separated from Him for all eternity? What are some of the scriptures? Okay, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans what? Say it again. I can't hear you, Dad. Elder Kelly, you want to give him the microphone, please?
Romans 3, 23-24. For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace.
Justified freely by His grace. Through what? The redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Where else is Scripture? So we need to understand grace. This word gets used poorly lots. We need to understand the word grace so that we can practice 2 Timothy 2:24. That if those are in opposition to sound doctrine, we can patiently and gently teach them. Because there's no other answer. How were you saved? I was saved because I accepted Christ. No, you're saved by grace. What other passages prove that? Donnie? Okay, Exodus 33:19.
Then He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
Okay, that's also quoted again in Romans. So God bestows that grace on whom He would prove, or whom He would choose. Right? It says right there, He's going to be gracious to whom He's going to be gracious. So, who receives God's grace? Saving grace. Okay, believers, but who is that? Whoever God chooses. When did He choose them? So we see how by grace we're saved, and God's going to be gracious to whomever He's going to be gracious to. And have compassion on whomever He wants to have compassion. So we cannot obtain grace by anything that we might do. Okay? What else? What other passages prove God's grace is how we are saved? Okay, Ephesians 1, 4-7. Jerry, you want to read it?
Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved.
In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. By the way, Ephesians 1, 4 through 7, if you ever wonder or forget God's sovereignty in salvation, and when that happened, and on what basis, it can't be much more clear. Just as he chose, and by the way, he's talking to the saints in Ephesus, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to us making a decision. According to the decision he knew we would make. According to because he loves us all. No, he chose some according to the good pleasure of his will. Because he wanted to. That's why. And that's why it's grace. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. So I talked to Kirsten, hasn't seen this, I don't think. She said the other day, you don't have a pocket. Who's got a shirt pocket? Terry's got a shirt pocket. So this is, in this illustration, I am God. This is grace, which gives one salvation. Okay? So this is saving grace in this pen. And I am God in this demonstration. Terry, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I would like you to accept this gift that I'm wanting to give you. Okay. Now everybody see this. Terry reached up, right? Go ahead and reach up. Did Terry just do something? He just did a work, didn't he? So if this is salvation, and I say, if I'm God, and I say I love you so much, I want a relationship, I desire that, please reach up and grab this pen so you can, this salvation, so we can be together. Up. He just did something, didn't he? Here is how salvation works. As a matter of fact, I am God. In this illustration, this is saving grace. This is salvation. Terry, confess me as Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And he will. Because I have given him this. Well, what about the gift? It says gift. I can refuse a gift. Not according to Scripture, you can't refuse a gift. It's not a gift that we wrap up and say, please take it. It is like this. There is now, Terry, confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he then confesses Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Every one of us who are truly saved, that is how we were saved. We did not do anything. We didn't do any work. If you have to reach up and grab this gift, come on, dog. You did something. That's a work. And then he could boast in, I reached up and grabbed it. Have you ever heard people boast about their salvation? I accepted Jesus. I chose Christ. I. Then it's no longer grace. It's works. Do we get that? I think we all get that. I hope that helps you to see a visual demonstration, because I'm such a good props guy. See, I'm getting really good at it, Cal. So anytime you hear or you say, so if I say to you, how are you saved? I was saved because I accepted Jesus. Then you're not saved. You accepted Jesus because you were saved. Because we will confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9. Because with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, one confesses unto salvation. The heart leads the mouth. And Romans 16:14, who changed Lydia's heart? Read Romans 16:14, Kev, please. I say Romans, Acts 16:14. Do what I say, not what I say.
Right.
Do what I think, not what I say.
Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul.
The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. So the Lord opened her heart, and then she confessed with her mouth. God put that pen in her pocket. By what? Because of what? Because of His good pleasure. Because people say, I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve it at all. But I reached up and grabbed it, so now I deserve it because I grabbed it. Now it's mine. I claim it. You don't get to claim salvation. You can't claim salvation. Then it wouldn't be grace. It would be works. Kev.
Well, the only thing that I would say that if man were given the option to do something, he would absolutely do something, and he would say no.
Yep, that's good. Now, we're into another doctrine we'll get to later, but in my demonstration, I'm God. This is salvation. Can Terry not take that? Can he? Here, knock it out of my hand. Can Terry do that? Well, most people believe that he could. Come on, Terry, I'm God. I really want to put this in your pocket. Knock it out of my hand. I want you to keep knocking it out of my hand for the point of this demonstration until you stop knocking it out of my hand, okay? So, Ken Terry, I'm God, here's salvation. Now look, are you seeing this? Who's more powerful? Is that true? Is any man more powerful than God? It's irresistible grace. The eye and tulip. You cannot resist God's grace. I had no choice in my salvation. I couldn't have said no if I wanted to. Unless I believe I'm more powerful than God. Back to a man-centered theology that is heresy. It's not true. It's demeaning. It's taking away from God's sovereignty. Don't laugh out of my hand. He is not strong enough because, as a matter of fact, if he goes knock it out, God doesn't work this way, but boom! You will not tell God what will or won't happen. You little worm. Right? So we're worms in Scripture. This is irresistible. So yes, if Terry was left to his own devices, which he's not when that happens, if he were, he would reject it because he can't choose good. Because man is born totally depraved. The T in tulip. He's totally depraved. He can't choose good. He can only choose evil. Because he was born with original sin. And there's not one good, no, not one. Grace. Did you see how big God's grace is in all of that? Anybody have a question about any of that? Comments about any of that? Upset about any of that? Joy about any of that? Everybody's hand should be up about that, but I can't coach you. I can only lead you to water. I can't make you drink. Did you have your hand up, Ray? I need a microphone, please. I think so. I think really. My brother Steve listens to the recordings and he wants to hear your voice. So you can say hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. So that, you think about once you have salvation, Terry can't give that pen back. Can't give that. So it's the backsliding argument that you hear so much.
Yep. So now we're into another doctrine. You have something to say? Elder Nick has something to say. We're into another doctrine there now. Which is the P. in Tulip.
So I think that pen analogy is a good one, but if we really want to expand that out, it would be more accurately God holding you down and putting a heart of flesh in after he takes out a heart of stone.
Right, which if I wanted to do that, I would have to do like that one movie. I really don't think Terry wants me ripping in and pulling it out.
There's probably YouTube videos where those...
Here's what I could do. All right, thank you. But here. Let's try this again because now I'll get it better. This is the sin nature that Terry's born with. That's what this is in this demonstration. He didn't choose to have it, did he? He was born with it. This is salvation. I am God in this demonstration. Confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's done with. It's gone. It's not you anymore. Did I hit somebody?
Or to use what I was saying, he's got a new heart, and how can you get rid of a new heart? You can't.
You
get rid of your heart? You can't be done with it. It's in you.
And we are, you know what, we're not going to go to that, but we will get to that. And we looked at this in men's Bible study the other day. There's many scriptures that show about God's seal that he puts on us as a guarantee. We can't break God's seal. We're not that powerful. It's a nice man-centered theology that makes people feel good if they think they can walk away from their salvation. Pull that new heart out. Okay, saving grace. That is what you'll hear called saving grace around here. Supernatural. God's supernatural power to give us eternal life instead of eternal separation from Him in hell. Okay. The second half of the definition of grace. Grace is also God's supernatural power to live a righteous life. Supernatural power to live a righteous life. Is that just something that we make up? Because, in other words, we say that around here, but if you live as if that's not true, in other words, I'm saved, but I just can't live right, then what I'm saying isn't accurate. God's grace is supernatural power to live righteous lives. Let's look at some scripture that proves that. First Peter 5. By the way, it's not two pieces of grace, it's all grace. It's just two parts of the same grace. So that heart or that pen I put in Terry's pocket is full of power to cause Terry to live a right life. It's full of power that will supernaturally cause Terry to live a righteous life. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So His grace is going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, says the Apostle Paul, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Not I am what I was. What was the Apostle Paul? He was a persecutor of the church. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew who witnessed and caused the stoning and the imprisonment of Christians. I am what I am. And by His grace toward me, and His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The Apostle Paul says, by God's grace I am what I am, and I labored more than all of them, but not me. I did that by God's grace. His supernatural power to be stoned, to be beaten, to be imprisoned, and to write half of the New Testament. God's grace was in Paul's life to live supernaturally. He doesn't say, by a lot of hard work I am what I am. And because I tried really hard, I labored more abundantly than all. He did it supernaturally, by the grace of God which was with me. Supernatural power. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How will you know how to answer people? What does that scripture say? Look at that passage. How will you know? I'm going to read it again. Listen. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How are you going to know how to answer each one concerning the things of God? How are you going to know? By His grace. Are you going to know because you're really smart? So, any ability that I have to speak into y'all's lives as we would interact about life is by God's grace. And you know how I know that? Because if you'd have sat with me 15 years ago, I'd have given you a lot of advice. Since I've been 12 years old, I used to be nicknamed Andy Landers in junior high. I had no girlfriends, but all the girls were my friends and would call me for advice. So I gave a lot of advice in my life. And every bit of that advice was of me and for my benefit. And by God's grace, I know how I ought to answer often. But only by His grace. Not because I studied really hard. You know what? I have studied pretty hard. By God's grace. When I got saved, I had a desire to know God's Word that was unquenchable in me. Still is. I didn't do that. You know how I know I didn't do that? Because what was unquenchable in me was my desire to know how to make $1 million or $2 million or $5 million. That's what I wanted to know how to do. I want to know how to play the best golf courses in the world. I want to know how to get onto Augusta. That was one of my goals. I was going to figure out who to connect with and how to have enough money to play Augusta. But by God's grace, I have a desire to know God's Word. Supernaturally. So that verse right there, beloved, every one of us who is saved will know how we ought to speak by God's grace. And you either got it or you don't. Now, at the moment of salvation, do you know the whole Bible? At the moment of dying, do you know the whole Bible? Well, I sure don't. Every time I dig a little deeper, man, there's so much more I can't even. It's just so much. I mean, you think I preach long? I mean, every week there could be so much more we could talk about. I know you want that, so I'm working on it, Julie. I'm trying to lengthen them out for you. Paul, Brother Paul, you want me to preach longer, right? You're over that, right? I can preach as long as I want. Hello. Okay. Yeah, nod yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, when you're going into a really difficult conversation. So, Mom, you had a conversation with Bill not too long ago. and you were at my house and I said, hey, come in here, let's talk about that. And you said, well, I don't want you to tell me what to do because I want Billy to know it was me. What did I do with you? Let you say it, and then what did I do with you? At the end of it. At the end of it. Pray. Because God had told her what to say. And all I was listening for to see if there was anything in there that wasn't a scripture. And so she had a tough speech. You need to consider, pray. Get filled up with who God is. Don't walk into meetings unprepared. And I mean unprepared in that you're not focused on who God is. Paul, I don't care what meeting you go into. You can think it has nothing to do with who God is. Right? It's a business meeting. As you walk in there, you be prepared to speak with grace. The supernatural power that you give the answers that God would have you give. So, you're doing a presentation. There's no chance you're going to even come close to exaggerating or fibbing about a number or two. Because that's not God's grace. Okay. What do we think about that? You may have any testimony about this verse. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer one another. What did that verse mean to you before? You've probably heard it. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How'd that used to strike you? Be pretty fluffy. Seasoned with salt. I got to make it taste good. What does it mean now? How are you going to speak? How are you going to speak, Roy? How? There you go. By God's grace. By studying, by reading, by yep. By God's grace. Do you realize? Lots have this testimony. You read your Bible for years before salvation and it just didn't mean anything to you. Sat with a guy the other day. I can't read my Bible. It doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't line up. Now, I'm not saying you're going to understand it. I mean, look, do I understand the Bible perfectly at salvation? Do I understand the Bible perfectly at death? Then we will. But when you say, I can't understand the Bible, test yourselves. Examine yourselves. Not always can I understand everything. Not am I distracted sometimes, but I just connect. I don't even know why I read it. So, Roy, you'll speak by God's grace. Pour biblical truth into God's remnant to build them up and go out and do the work. Biblical truth gets poured in, then you know how to go out and speak by God's grace. And God's grace gets poured out to you every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Saturday, every Wednesday. That's God's grace being poured out to you. That's not Pastor Mike or Elder Nick or Elder Cal. See, only by His grace do I even stand up here, right? And then certainly only by His grace do I have anything to say that is any wisdom. So my speech is seasoned with salt because of His grace. So it's a good lesson for us. We go into a meeting and we just start talking. And we come out of the meeting and say, What just got accomplished? Well, absolutely nothing, because you went in and just started talking. Sarah had a Skype the other day, and she wrote some things out. I would encourage you all, you have an important conversation, write some things out. Be prayerful as you write them so you have God's grace all over the discussion you're about to have. Because otherwise you go in and you start talking and pretty soon you're fighting again. And now we're down some path where I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. Bring it back. God's grace was on you when you thought about what it is you wanted to discuss. Somebody had their hand up, I think. Kathy.
I'm not sure I understand what the meaning is, the seasoned speech. Does that mean to be prepared?
So seasoned with salt. What function did salt have in those times? It was a purification. Well, it was, but it was a...
preservative.
Preservative. There we go. Thank you. Preservative. It was for taste. It was for wounds. So salt was a powerful substance. So seasoned with salt doesn't mean you got to be fluffy. Because if seasoned with salt means fluffy, then Jesus didn't get it. As he said, brood of vipers. Whitewashed tombs. You're not going to heaven, but the harlots and the tax collectors are. That wasn't very fluffy.
Well, seasoned with the message that preserves. Seasoned
salt.
With salt as it affects a wound that creates real healing. Real preservation, real healing is, if you really think about what salt meant back then, that it wasn't just flavor. I think it much more the preserving and healing.
Because, Kath, I'm not saying you said this, okay, but this is what people think sometimes. Pastor sure doesn't preach with much salt.
Well, I'm surprised.
I would encourage you to consider, by God's grace, we're pouring tons and tons and pounds and truckloads of salt out there. Yes, Bill.
Well, I'm surprised someone didn't bring this up, but like in Colossians 4, it says here, like seasoned with salt, just as salt not only flavors, but it prevents corruption in the Christian speech, should act not only as a blessing to others, but as a purifying influence within the decaying society of the world.
Perfect. That was the commentary. That was MacArthur's commentary, right? Yes, Dad.
Only Bill would remember this. Maybe
me, because you probably told me 100 times.
No, Bob, but on the farm, my aunts used to cook before refrigeration. They'd pack all the hams with a salt this thick all the way around them. And then put them in what they called the smokehouse, which was just a dark area. It wasn't iced or anything. And that would prevent the ham from rotting. When it came time to eat the ham, they'd take it out and chip away the salt, and the meat was still pure. I had a conversation with Elder Nick. It was, you know what it was? It wasn't yakety-yak. It was actually, he convicted me through verses of what was wrong. And that really, to me, for one of the first times, really got to me is why these guys are elders. Because they're not going to just yakety-yakety-yakety. They're going to take away the salt and get to the meat. That'd be right? Is that what you're thinking?
Sure. You're actually going to put the salt on to preserve it and use salt to heal a wound. But salt is salt and light. Right? Jesus said we're to go be salt and light. So, bring salt. Season your conversations with salt. And you can only do that by God's grace. You can't do it, but by God's grace. But when that pen gets placed in your pocket, what comes with this is grace. And it's powerful. This thing should be like glowing if I was really good at this. This powerful thing that when it goes in there, boom! Inside of Terry now is we're gonna be careful. It could be charismatic church falling out. Woo! Inside of him now is the power of God. By grace, the supernatural power of God to now live a righteous life. And when you say, when you don't live that way and say you can't live that way, then you're having a form of godliness but denying its power. You either got the power or you didn't. I got the power! I like it. he's getting kind of happy. Okay. Whew. Having one of those flashes, Nick. I'm about to pass out again. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, 1 verses 1 through 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in your willpower. Be strong in your efforts. Be strong in your manlihood. No. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit to these faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. How are you going to impart knowledge? How are you going to endure hardship? How? By God's grace. And if you don't endure hardship, then you're living as one who doesn't have grace. By God's grace, you'll endure hardships like a good soldier. See? Oh, it's just too much for me to handle, Pastor. Boldly go to the throne of grace and beg for mercy and grace in your time of need. Access the power. I'm starting to sound like T.D. Jakes. But seriously, access the power. It's in you. That's God's grace. See, the way that term's got used around you your whole lives, you're so confused. You have no idea what grace means. You think grace is tolerance of sin. No, grace is the forgiveness of sin and the power to live without it. A grace-based church doesn't tolerate sin. A grace-based church, Grace Fellowship Church, preaches the gospel, stands on truth, and encourages us to live out of the power that's been put in us. And when we don't, we are rebuked. And we are stirred up and spurred on to good works. Because that's God's grace. Helping you to access that power that's in you. Helping me to access that power that's in me if I'm not accessing it. Reminding me, do you have Christ Jesus in you or don't you? Test yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. But I trust you won't fail the test. I trust you won't be disqualified. Acts 14:26. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. The work they had completed was done by God's grace. As you're reading the epistles, the Apostle Paul greets his readers in almost every letter with the blessing of grace. Not that they need salvation. He's writing to the saints. Grace be with you, Andrea. Grace and peace. Andrea doesn't need salvation. I'm not saying grace as in be saved. I'm saying live out that power that God's put in you. May His grace and His peace rest upon you. May you be walking in His grace. So here's how the Apostle Paul starts epistles, Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16:20, and the Lord and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The salvation? No, it's already there. The power to live a right life. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if we start to get this, we actually might start greeting one another. Grace and peace, Brother Kevin. As you part, may God's grace be with you, Brother Paul. Remember what you got, dude, is what I'm saying. Remember what you got. Live in that. Encourage me, Pastor. Grace and peace to you. Oh yeah, I can live out of grace and then peace will follow because that's the reservoir that this stream of peace comes out of. And if I'm not feeling peace, I'm not living in God's grace. The power to live a right life. Not just the forgiveness of my sin, but the power to then live a right life. 2 Corinthians 1:2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That is so big. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power. The love of God. The giving of Him for your benefit so that you can give of yourself for the benefit of others. And the communion of the Holy Spirit. The like-mindedness of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Don't forget, you're like-minded with the Holy Spirit. The grace, the power of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I could cry saying that. That is so cool and real. And deep and thick. And wow. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:18. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So let's turn again to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of the supernatural power to live a right life, that we may obtain mercy and find the supernatural power to live a right life to help in the time of need. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of the supernatural power to live a right life, that we may obtain mercy and find the supernatural power to live a right life. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of the supernatural power to live a right life and to obtain mercy, goodness, and forgiveness when we're in misery and distressed, and find the supernatural power to live a right life to help in time of need. How many of you feel like sometimes you just can't do it? You just can't do it. All of our hands should be up. There's times you feel like you just can't do it. And we're being encouraged to go to that throne of that supernatural power that lives in you, that was put there by God. Somebody tell me, where are you failing? Where are you struggling? Where do you feel like you just can't get her done? How many of you wives feel like you just can't have a submissive heart towards your husbands? How many of your husbands say, I just can't leave my family. I can't leave my wife. Well, then you're not accessing the power. You're calling God a liar. Grace. I hope that we leave these last 2 weeks and we so understand that word that when we sing it or when we say it, we can hardly stand it. It's so big to us. Think about God's grace. By His grace, I'm saved through faith. Because of His good pleasure. For His glory. And then, I have the power to live a right life. Sanctification. I don't know how to analogize it. You know, this area of my life, you know, I don't do it very well. Oh, I've got God's grace and I'm having some victory and I'm moving along and I just continue to be sanctified. By what? By God's grace and my works. Because once I'm saved, I have an obligation to work at it. And I can and I will supernaturally by God's grace. I just will. I must. I can't. I will. I will, by God's grace, work at sanctification. And I will be sanctified by God's grace. Okay. What do you got? I feel like I just preached a sermon. I was intending to teach on grace, and I feel like I preached a sermon. So what do we got? What's that?
So do we.
Oh. Yeah. Somebody, say something. We're not moving until somebody says something. Donnie, it's always good to say something. Praise God, Donnie. I didn't mean that negatively. I meant that wonderfully. You always have something, and that's great.
So I want to edify the body and give testimony to my humanness. There's some days when I wake up in the morning, I just feel indifferent. And as I go to the Bible and read my word and then pray, I'm just immediately evicted of, you know, I'm immediately convicted of, you know.
Thought you got kicked out of your apartment. Go ahead.
Of, you know, my selfishness, my pride, and it just lead me to continuously encourage the body. Because like I said, some days I get up, I'm just in a place of.
And that, you know, all happens before 5:24 a.m. Can you imagine that? By God's grace, I get an email, a text from Donnie every morning. By God's grace. And some of us view it like it's an irritant, probably. I hope not. Because it's only by God's grace that you receive that every morning. And I would encourage you to read it and be encouraged. Who else? What else? What are you thinking? Tell me about grace. Tell me what you know about grace. Tell me what you used to think about grace. Tell me if you're confused still about grace. Not you, Grace. Not you, Grace. But man, you know what? I would be so humbled to have that name. It would be strange if I had that name, however. But it would be a pretty humbling name to carry around.
Make a good country western song.
My pastor's name, Grace. And we're not in a Wesleyan church, never mind. Because see, a pastor could be named Grace in a different denomination. So who else has anything they want to say about grace? We can be finished, but I want to know you. I want to know what you think about God's grace, Joshua. Joshua, your son, about to be no longer under your authority very shortly. So if you got anything to do, do it quickly.
So I have in my mind a couple, thoughts of how you go boldly to the throne of grace through prayer and being broken by who you are and your sin and realizing you can't live your life how God would desire you without His grace. I mean, is there anything else you would add to that?
Here's how I go to the throne of grace often. I call Elder Nick, or I call Elder Cal, or I call you, or I talk to my wife. Because, see, God's grace gets poured out into my life through you all much. Matter of fact, I was just standing up there tonight thinking how just blessed I am to have you all in my life. And all the grace that gets poured out into my life through you all. I can't stand it, dude. So if I'm one to go boldly, I'll talk to somebody. I'll talk to one of y'all, which I do every day of my life. Praise God. So there's another way we can go boldly to the throne of grace. Through prayer, through reading the Word, through going to brothers and sisters in Christ, through going to the elders. James 5 talks about it. You feel beat up? You feel weary? Come, let us lay hands on you and pray with you and encourage you. That's God's grace. Anyone else?
So I had the pleasure of getting a performance review today.
Giving or getting?
Getting. Yeah, it wasn't from Sarah.
That's good because I didn't want to have to call you guys over to the office after we leave here.
But every time in my life I've had a performance review, it's either been average or poor to the point of almost getting fired. And this is the first time it's done. It's just been overwhelming, the great things he had to say. And I think about what's the difference, because when it's the same boss when I had him before salvation and after, he just said, you know, there was a point when some people would say things that I got a little concerned about, but it's just, you've just leaps and bounds beyond anything that I was hoping for. And just, it was very phenomenal.
So how did Corey get a better review in his job? Three words. By God's grace. Yeah, but don't unsaved people get better performance reviews sometimes? Absolutely. By their power. Not by God's grace. And the difference is, Corey knows it's by God's grace, not by his power. And if he'd have gotten that 2 years ago, look at me. I'm Sandra D. No. Yeah, it's so much goes on up here. If you only knew. I only say about 2% of it. By God's grace, I only say 2% of it. Anyone else? Okay. We will sing.